You're listening to The Christian Book Show. Real authors, real discussions, real issues. Books are about ideas. As believers, our ideas ought to be better. Our stories more compelling. We're here to spread ideas that lead to life. Our Savior made the religious establishment nervous and gave hope to the common people. We're here to do the same. Christian authors, leaders, and influencers share their message. Let's talk to the author. Hello, folks. Welcome to this edition of The Christian Book Show. Today we have with us Gladys Famarillo, the author of Overcoming Emotional Baggage, A Woman's Guide to Living an Abundant Life. Let me tell you a little bit about Gladys. Gladys is from the UK. You'll notice that right off when we begin our interview. But she's an award-winning and best-selling author who has spoken in three continents. She's a transformational leader and has been in the transformation industry for the last 20 years. During this time, she has had the privilege of speaking to thousands of women, and her primary passion is to help people live restored, transformed, and purposeful lives. Gladys is a prolific and inspirational writer. Her books include the book we're going to talk about today, Overcoming Emotional Baggage, A Woman's Guide to Living an Abundant Life, Healing a Discouraged Heart, Getting Back on Track When Life Lets You Down, Quit Hiding, Start Living, How Women Can Free Themselves from Past Hurts, and her latest book is called Bounce Back, How to Survive, Thrive, and Maximize Your Challenging Life Situations. Gladys is also the founder of Gladys Famarillo Ministries, which oversees a number of initiatives. One of such is Overcoming Emotional Baggage for Women, which aims to promote emotional well-being within the church and beyond. Her latest project is the Bounce Back Initiative that helps people overcome challenging life experiences while making a positive difference in their worlds, regardless of their life's journeys. Now, I want to read just a portion of the back of the book of Overcoming Emotional Baggage, and it'll kind of get us started. I'm going to let Gladys introduce herself, and we'll get on the interview. From the back of the book, part of the challenge here is says, get ready to shed some weight of the emotional kind. And in the description, she says, on their personal journeys to success, many women have been caught sprinting on the treadmills of life. This fast-paced lifestyle has meant that many of us rarely slow down, much less take time out to deal with emotional baggage we have accumulated from our childhood or our day-to-day experiences. Couple this with the failure to nurture our entire being on a consistent basis, and instead of the vibrant woman God created, we see a proliferation of a pale copy of the original. This is what Gladys calls the female hybrid. Now, we're celebrating the 10th anniversary of Overcoming Emotional Baggage, what Gladys calls OEB. So I'd like to introduce Gladys, let her tell us a bit about herself, and then we'll come into the book. Welcome, Gladys, to the Christian Book Show.
Thank you so much, Steve, for having me on board.
Well, tell us about everything that I've missed. Tell us about what you're doing now today, your ministry, and then let's get right into Overcoming Emotional Baggage.
Well, thank you very much. Well, first and foremost, I have to say, I have a vision of a world where people have healthy hearts. And when I talk about healthy hearts, I'm talking about it from a spiritual perspective, and a world where people are able to live baggage-free. I'm on a mission to use the words Father gives me to inspire, to restore, to revive, and to bring hope to people as they make their way through their life experiences. And as you've already mentioned, one of the ways I do that is through writing books. I also get to do a lot of speaking and helping people really transform their lives through coaching and consulting. And that's something I've been doing for the last 20 years. Now, I think one of my passions at the moment right now is the work we do through the ministry, Gladys Famarillo Ministries, which is about helping people, in particular women within the church and outside of the church, live whole lives. So not just, living life, but living wholesome lives free of all the contaminations and whatnot that that we pick up along the way. And some of the ways we do that over the last 5 to 7 years have been through conferences. We used to have annual conferences. We've done retreat programs. We've done training programs. But the bottom line of what I try and do through all these kind of avenues is to give really people practical skills, knowledge, and empower them so they can make the necessary changes in their lives so that they can manage their own well-being, as opposed to what I sometimes hear, well, the church is not doing this or there isn't that and blah, blah, blah. People are always quite quick to blame. So I'm like, okay, I'm giving you the tools, you take action and do something different about your situation. So that's basically me in a nutshell. It's about helping people, as I said, live baggage-free lives and have healthy hearts so they can go about and do the things that they were created to do for such a time as this.
Let's go back a bit to the reason that you do this. And you've invented a term, as far as I know, you've invented this term called the female hybrid. And it's a term that speaks to what women have maybe had to settle for. And I want to kind of pull apart what the female hybrid is. Can you help us with that?
Yes. Well, you know what, how it started. Okay. I'll take a back step and say, well, when I write these books, there are two things going on. Number one, it's a combination of the things that I'm going through personally. So I start to have these questions about why is this happening and why am I feeling this way? But also in the 20 years or so of coaching, mentoring, empowering women in particular, I started to notice a number of traits in both their lives and in my life. And the funny thing is when the book Overcoming Emotional Baggage came out and I started to talk to women in the church in particular about emotional baggage, the response was, oh, I'm fine. I mean, I've been saved. You know, I've got Jesus. So, you know, all this kind of stuff, these cliche kind of comments you heard. And I then realized that in addition to myself, that one of the challenges we're faced is because we're so fast paced, we've got so many roles, we've got so many to-do lists, so many things are going on in our lives. We've actually lost awareness of the person we've become over time. And so when I was writing this book, I didn't want Overcoming Emotional Baggage to be just a book. I wanted people, in particular women, to really see themselves and in terms of our characteristics and our traits and our behaviors that we've adopted over time, because I really believe that's so far removed from the Genesis human beings God created many years ago, back in the Garden of Eden. Okay, so in terms of female hybrids, these are basically women, the traits that a number of us women carrying emotional baggage have. And as I said, I felt I had to put some body and some structure around what women carrying emotional baggage looks like. Because as I said, when I said to women about emotional baggage, they just thought, no, because I'm in church, I seem to be fine, and maybe I'm successful in my business, blah, 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 I'm okay. But when we started to pull the layers off, just like you do in an onion, you pull the outer layer off and then another layer off, women started to see that actually my attitudes, my belief systems, and my behaviors were not quite aligned to what God's words were. So basically, the female hybrid was a woman who, in actual fact, her real self was no longer on display. It's been pushed back into the background. And so for some of us, we're afraid to actually expose our real selves, our true selves, because of, you know, for example, life situations that we've all experienced. And so what we tended to see was a pale version of that woman God created when he had us in mind. And one of the key reasons the female hybrid started to show up was the fact that we were carrying emotional baggage. Now, if we're to just, I know we're going to be talking about emotional baggage later on, but my definition of emotional baggage is simply the unresolved issues that we carry around as a result of our life experiences. So if you imagine a number of us women, and when I say women, I'm not just picking on us. I know men have baggage too, because they've been saying to me, why don't you write a book for us too? Because we've got baggage. But going back to the notion about the unresolved issues a number of us were carrying, and because of not necessarily having the tools, not necessarily having the knowledge or even the boldness to try and deal with some of this, we kind of cover it up and we wear these masks and we show up every day. So the female hybrid woman becomes this mask wearing woman who shows up every day on the stages of life doing the things she has to do, like a wife, a mother, a leader, a business owner, and whatever. But deep down on the inside of her, there are some unresolved issues that haven't been dealt with. Now, as I said in the book, there were 10 different types. And to be honest, Steve, there's still some more emerging patterns coming out. And I might put that in the next book. But some of the key ones that, you know, I could personally identify with, in fact, I can identify with all 10 of them. But, you know, the clone, the chameleon, and the masquerader, the superhero, the bully, the love seeker, the hider, the attention seeker, the pessimist and the weakling. Now, some women say, well, it's not great for you to label. And I don't really like the idea about labeling people. But I felt something needed to be done to help us understand some of the traits, the characteristics that we were displaying. In fact, I even saw this not just in my own life. When I was working with a client face to face or on the phone, these traits were coming across and they didn't even realize it. So let me give you, shall I give you an example?
Please, please do.
Okay, I'll give one of my favorite ones, the one that I can relate to the most, is the female superhero. So if you imagine this woman wearing this superhero outfit every morning, goes out there to save the world. But whilst on the surface, the motive seems right, you know, she's helping other people. She's the one who everybody relies on. You know, she's there when everybody has a need. She's the shoulder everybody cries on. You know, she could be relied on to be there for everybody else. But deep down inside, what you'll notice is she's driven by the wrong motives. More often than not, they haven't got their own support mechanism of their own. There's nobody there to support them for their own personal challenges and the things that they need. They feel that if they keep pouring out into other people, that perhaps somebody will do the same thing for them. So what they don't tend to do is have their own support mechanism in place. They don't have their own personal needs met, and they tend to have very little, if any at all, support for them. And more importantly, they tend to lack personal boundaries. So they're the kind of person who's the yes kind of person and struggle sometimes to say no. And that's what, you know, these are some of the characteristics when I start to break it down. And when we work with women in groups or, you know, in workshops, they start to say, oh my gosh, that is so me. And so by having those female hybrid tendency types, women started to understand who they had evolved in over time.
You know, I am so glad, number one, that I read this book, and I'm glad that I'm a man. And let me tell you why I'm glad that I'm a man, is because I can see this. This is a book that we would assume is written for women, and really that's your focus. But when I read this as a man, not only can I see those identities in women that have, you know, that I know through a community, that I know through family, that I know through church, I can see these in men as well. They're not limited to women, and you can also see them in yourselves. And one thing when you talked about emotional baggage, you know, one thought that came through my mind was, if men had less emotional baggage, women would have less emotional baggage as well, because those relationships are inextricably tied, don't you think?
Absolutely. In fact, as I said earlier on, I have a lot of men say, well, you shouldn't really have put women on that book cover. You should have just left it blank, because we have some of the same struggles too. And in terms of, I don't want to really point any fingers, but I have to admit that from a number of women I've spoken to on a one-to-one and a group forum, they tend to be some form of role, a male figure, I'll put it that way, has played in that. For example, I could be talking to a woman about starting a business plan, and before you know it, she's mentioned her ex like 10 times. Or you get somebody who's struggling with their own identity issues, and you discover that actually there wasn't a father figure or a strong father figure in their, you know, childhood, in their formative years. So I agree with you that there are a number of issues that a lot of men can deal with. And I do believe that if both of us, male and female, can work on ourselves, this world would be such a better place without the baggage.
I told someone, I said, I've had a hard life, and most of it self-inflicted. And when you were discussing the female superhero, my thoughts went to the women in my life that I've known that have that superhero identity. It was usually because there was no male superhero in their life. There was a very weak male support in their life, and they had to be that superhero for the children or for the rest of their family. And I don't know if that's universal or that's common, but that's a thing that's a point or a chord that was stricken with me when you were talking about the female superhero.
Absolutely. And I think when you look through the book, one of the things I talked about was the evolving of the female hybrid. How did it all come about? Now, yes, we can point everything back down to what happened, you know, right from the very beginning in the Garden of Eden. But you've also raised another point there whereby in this day in society, because of so many reasons that are well beyond the scope of this book and this interview, a number of us women have had to take positions we probably didn't think we would have to take in terms of being the strong one, being the leader of the family, the matriarch, in the business, in the home, in different kind of environments. They've found themselves to be in that position. It could be that there wasn't any male role models or figures, shall I say, in their formative years, or it could even be just now, because when I'm working with people, it's not just about the past, but it's also the present. And naturally, I'm the kind of person whereby if there is no strong leadership, I would sit for a while, and after a while, I will take the bull by its horns and do something about it. So I think there's quite a few factors coming into play here, and I think we need to, by pulling off the layers of the onion, then you get to understand the real reason why people do the things that they do. But bottom line is it's our attitudes and our belief systems, as well as coupled with our experiences, that drives some of these tendencies that we get to see.
Let's talk about how that emotional baggage manifests itself. And you talked about personal boundaries a bit. What are some other ways that can be identified, behaviors or characteristics that can be identified as emotional baggage? We're looking to free ourselves from that. How does emotional baggage manifest itself in a person's life?
Okay, as I said, my definition of emotional baggage is around our unresolved issues that we pick up through our life experiences. And they tend to have more of a negative effect on our behaviors, our attitudes, or even our belief systems. So if you imagine we're skipping along on our life journeys, bam, something happens. We go through, I mean, I'm sure it's the same on the other side of the ocean as we are in the UK. But, you know, we, as I said earlier on, we have these unscripted moments whereby we experience hurt and pain and all sorts of, abuse and relationship failures and so many things. And when we don't deal with those things or don't deal with them effectively, they become what I'm calling the emotional baggage or the unresolved issues of our lives. Now, how they might manifest, for example, one of the ways it does is negative emotions. So, the fears, the anxiety, the guilt, the shame, the sadness, et cetera. Another way that they do manifest is what I call the faulty thinking. So if you think about it, my yardstick is always going to be God's word. So if he says I can do all things through Christ Jesus, and I'm telling myself I can't do all things, there's a fault there. So it's faulty thinking, or the world might call it negative thinking or self-limiting beliefs. So it's the low self-confidence, it's the low self-esteem. It could be the negative feelings and so on and so forth. So there's a whole way that these kind of things manifest themselves. And I always tell people to just pause, because that's one of the key things that I feel has trapped us from trying to deal with some of these things. When we don't take a step back, get off the treadmills of life and just reflect on some of these attitudes, these beliefs, and even our behaviors, we get trapped in this emotional baggage dilemma. So for me, it's about taking a step back and reflecting and developing a healthy self-awareness of our attitudes, as I said, our belief systems and our behaviors. So in terms of how these, as I said, have manifestations, it could be in our emotions, it could be in our thought processes, and it could even be in our feelings. But in addition to that, I'm going to throw in there one of the things that I've also found myself trapped in, that I found a number of people trapped as well. It is around the negative behaviors. And one of the negative behaviors it came about through some of our coping behaviors. So we're trying to deal with all this baggage and we don't know how to deal with it. So we try and find something to keep our boats afloat. And one of the things that I've noticed that some of us tend to do is around, for example, comfort eating. I don't know whether that's a thing over there in your neck of the woods, but it's basically when you're eating for not necessarily the right reasons. And that's something that really God had to really deliver me personally from for a number of years, because when stuff hits the fan, proverbially, I would hit food. I'd be rummaging through my cupboards looking for something, and I'm thinking dry pasta, that's not gonna work, I need something sugary.
But comfort eating is in the top 10 of national pastimes here in the United States.
I like that, national pastimes. But yeah, comfort eating. Another thing was retail therapy. And I'm all about, and I always empower women, if you work hard, you need to treat yourself hard. But when you use retail therapy to fill a void that only God should be filling, just like with the food, we have a problem. And I always say, Houston, we have a problem. If we're using the likes of business, drugs, alcohol, nicotine, and all sorts of things to fill a void that only God should be filling because of a result of an issue, an unresolved issue, we have a problem that we really need to go back to the drawing board and have God help us deal with. And that, as I said, that's one of the kind of mindsets that I had when I was writing the book, is to really just bring to our attention, to the forefront of our mind, that actually these issues or these things that we've kind of acclimatized ourselves to, that we've kind of assumed is the norm, is not actually the norm. And when I was writing the book, I really said to God, I really wanted that John 10:10 life, the abundant life that he promised us. But while I was still bound with my unresolved issues, carrying emotional baggage, acting out like a female hybrid and all shades of all 10 shades of them, I was nowhere near that abundant life. And that was really the driving point for me. I really wanted to discover what that was for me and to help other people experience that too.
Amen. Something I noticed in your book that I really liked, because I like stories, is that you used some characters in your book, and they're fictionalized characters. You say Roberta, Patricia, Tracy, and Hope. But reading the book, I was, you know, when you brought in those characters, the reader gets involved in those characters, and I was saying, no, don't do that, don't go that way, don't do that. And to me, telling the story through those characters involves us so much more emotionally in the subject.
Yes, absolutely. So, sorry, go on.
Good storytelling, and to me, I look for that as a publisher. I look for that to say how everybody we specialize in nonfiction, and that's always teaching. And how does that teacher bring that home? And the best way to bring a teaching home is through a story. And you do it so well in this book.
Oh, thank you. I mean, as I said, I think one of the key challenges I was finding with people, women in particular, was is they couldn't really identify with some of the things that we're talking about. Because in fairness, you know, maybe in church or whatever, we get thrown a lot of, you know, stuff, content. But I really wanted people to emotionally connect. And the stories you mentioned, you know, one of them deals with an eating disorder, which is so prolific in this country, because there is a whole issue around identity, around our body sizes, which I think is completely, you know, it's just not right. So there's an issue with a story with a young lady dealing with domestic violence, again, which is a number one, but actually I won't say number one, but a huge issue both within the church and outside of the church. Then there's another lady who many of us can identify with, is the idea about you know, waiting so long for Mr. Right to come along, and then hey ho, Mr. Right decides after, you know, shortly into the wedding, the marriage, like say, that, you know, he thinks he's made a mistake. So, you know, these are stories that I really felt that I saw reoccurring time and time, you know, with the people I was working with, or sometimes, you know, just after ministering in a service, you'd always get somebody come and share their story. And I just felt that some of those stories really needed to be shared for many reasons. Number one, so we connect with on an emotional level. But number two, to really encourage other people going through a similar journey to say, you're not alone. There are other people going through a similar journey, and you can overcome that too.
Yep. And another thing I noticed about your stories and about your teaching, it is not sanitized or candy coated. It's very, very, very real. And one of the problems that we have, so much Christian teaching that is there, people are so afraid to of the possibility of damaging some kind of sensitive sensibility or delicate sensibility, that they take all of the meat and all of the reality out of the teaching. And you don't. You're brave enough to put it in there to say, this is really how it is. And it's not pretty, and sometimes it's ugly, but it's truthful. And I think people will get that, because it's to me, readers would rather have something raw and truthful than they would something that's sanitized and covered over for more delicate sensibilities. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And I think, you know what, it's a shame when how can I put it? It's almost like I see myself as a leader, and I really do feel that sometimes integrity. In fact, I'll take strike the word sometimes. I believe integrity is quite important. But I also believe that an element of showing your vulnerability, I think, helps people be able to relate more so to you than anything else. And I find sometimes that because that's not always happening, people feel, actually, this religion thing or this Christianity thing is not real because they're not dealing with real life issues. Now, I do appreciate that, you know, perhaps Sunday morning is not necessarily the day to open up a can of worms or some of the things that we're discussing here. but that's why we have those retreats, those training programs, those one-to-ones and the conferences to let women share their stories and say, you know what, and also not just women share their stories, but most of the speakers that I have that we work with, I let them know that we're all about being real. We don't sugarcoat anything. We let people know that this is the reality. In fact, you know, and if you're really bold enough, this is what I've been through, but here's what God has done through me over the years. And I'm standing here as a living witness that you can overcome whatever it is that you're facing. And I think people really need, in this day and time, people really need to hear that. And see that the people who, how can I put it, who are leading from the front in whichever shape or capacity that might be, whether it be in the church, whether it be as an author, to let them know that they've actually walked that journey too. And one of the things that I've always done with, you know, over the last 20 years is to, you know, I see myself as somebody who's maybe just a step in front of somebody else, but I lend my hand and hold their hand to say, come on, come and join me on the next step. And let's walk this journey together. So that's really my way of walking with people, to help them know that you're not alone. I've been through it. I may not have been through exactly what you've been through, because we all have different journeys and different stories. But I'm here to let you know that regardless of where you've come from, we can hit that destination that God has in mind for all of us.
Let's talk about the practical steps toward moving into wholeness.
Okay. Well, over the years, as I said, one of my key things, if you were to say one of my values or one of the themes that resonate with what I do, is about making things practical. There's no point me saying, oh, you need to do this. And for example, you know, one of the key things we hear about within the body of Christ is around forgiveness. Now, I'm sure you've noticed, Steve, that there isn't a forgiveness button on our forehead that you can just press and say, go forgive. And then it's just gone. It doesn't work like that.
I wish there were.
I know the world will be such a bitter place if we can press that button or press a reset button. But, you know, so it's all about, you know, practical things that people can do. Now, to do that, one of the first things I wanted to share with people is regardless of where you are in your life journey, I devise this thing where I call it the emotional well-being continuum. So for all of us, if you think about the continuum, so far left and far right, most of us will find ourselves somewhere between the two extremes, between I'm okay and I'm not okay. Okay, so we're somewhere between those extremes. And I really encourage people through our quiet times on a day-to-day basis, for our me times I encourage women to have on a daily basis, is about think about where am I at on that emotional well-being continuum from the I'm okay to the I'm not okay. And once you can identify where you are on that, it kind of tailors how the next steps you need to make. So are you in the emotional distress far extreme, or are you in the emotional wholeness aspect of things? So moving on from there, I devise what I call the emotional well-being model. Now, the model consists of just four simple blocks. The first block is around discovering. So it's about recognizing, identifying where you're currently at. And this is not the bit, especially as Christians, using our Christian news to say, oh, you know, if I say, how are you doing emotionally? And your response might be, oh, I'm blessed and highly favored. Well, that's not why I asked you. It's about really uncovering what the real issues are. So I use the examples of comfort eating or feeling low or maybe feeling inner unrest. You might want to dig deeper and understand what's really going on there. So just the same way that we might go to a doctor and say, you know, there's an issue and they might do some tests. The reason they're doing the test is to try to uncover what the actual symptoms are, as opposed to treating the surface things. So it's about us as individuals asking God to help us become aware of some of the things that are actually driving some of our attitudes, our belief systems, or our behaviors. So the first step is really discovery, understanding what's really going on beneath the surface. Now, the next thing is on that model is to accept. So this is where you're about admitting or acknowledging what you've actually discovered. So this is not the bit to, this is not the time to say, well, that's the way God made me, or that's just how I am, i.e. my personality. It's about recognizing the traits that you find in yourself and say, well, actually, going back to God's word, he said he made us wonderfully complex or wonderfully and beautifully made. So if I'm anywhere away from that, what God's word tells me, it means there's something I need to work on in my life. So it's really acknowledging the thing that you've discovered about yourself. And as opposed to brushing under the carpet, it's about saying, okay, I accept there's unforgiveness. I accept that there's, you know, fear in my life. I accept that there's some unresolved issues towards my ex-partner, and I really want to deal with it now. So we've had discovery and we've had acceptance. Now, the next one is actually working on it. So it's acting. So you're really doing something now to really help you move yourself forward from the first two phases that you've discovered. So it's, as I said earlier on, it might be that your actions for this junction of your life might be to forgive someone. Now, by the way, forgiveness could be towards yourself. It could be towards others. It could even be towards God, dare I say that. But, you know, you might need to forgive someone. For some of us, we might need to restore a relationship or even break off a relationship, because there are some damaging relationships out there that might not be helping us as individuals. And for some people, it might just be getting professional help. You know, there's so many people and resources out there where we can actually get the help. So this real third phase is really about taking action. And if you notice, I'm not saying, oh, sit there and do nothing. You have the part to play in this whole process. God has his part to play, but you also have your part to play as well. And the last step of that that model is around monitoring your progress. So it's about taking time out, whether it be, you know, as I said, for your quiet time or just taking, you know, retreat days and just catching up with yourself. Because I don't know about you, Steve, but over here, life could just be so fast paced on a treadmill that, you know, you can lose sight of yourself. If I use this analogy, and I'm sure you know what a paper cut is. You know, it's basically where you cut yourself on a piece of paper. Yep. But sometimes I could get so busy in my day that I notice, oh, my finger's bleeding. How did that happen? Sometimes when it comes to our emotions and our emotional life, we get emotional paper cuts, or should I say, you know, nicks, you know, that sometimes happen. And because we've been so busy, we haven't even noticed that that happened. But it's only sometimes when we kind of slow down and we reflect, we realize actually it was, you know, it could have been an off comment somebody made. It could have been something that happened at work or in church. And that's why it's so important for us to just slow down and maximize, you know, the things like retreats and even our Sabbath rest on a Sunday, using those times to just really reflect on what's going on. So just as a recap, I just wanted to remind, you know, people that the practical steps is really, first and foremost, understanding where you are on that continuum in terms of emotional wholeness or whether you're in emotional distress. And wherever you are, it's about understanding your discovery, so understanding where you're at right now. Also, accepting where you find yourself today, acting on where you find yourself, and then monitoring your progress so that you know that you're moving forward as opposed to remaining stagnant.
That's perfect. That's perfect. They say that the first step in becoming conscious is waking up. And so many of us live these lives that are so busy and so full of activity that we don't even wake up. And therefore, we don't even, like you said about the paper cut, we don't even realize that we're hurting and until we slow down and take the time to look at ourselves, just to realize, oh, I can't believe I've been behaving like this.
I was going to actually say, you know, you do, I'm not sure if you've noticed, but people actually use that running around as a means to not deal with the unresolved issues too. So it could actually be somebody's mechanism of trying to not have to deal with that, because, you know, sometimes the most difficult thing is to try and get someone to sit still because they know the stuff is going to come to the surface. So just in case anybody might be listening who is in that kind of predicament, I'll encourage you, it's worth the pain of just sitting still, and having those things come to the surface, because it will make you such a better person when you acknowledge what those things are and then move forward from there.
How do our readers and our listeners continue this conversation with you?
If people want to connect with me, one of the best ways to do that will be first and foremost through the website, which is gladysf.com. So that's gladysf.com. That's where to find out about events that we're running, or if I'm speaking in an area near you, or they can sign up to our network to get our newsletter. So they'll be one of the first to find out what we're doing. Apart from that, you can connect with me on social media. So I'm on Facebook, which is Gladys Famario. Same thing on Twitter, as well as LinkedIn and YouTube. So there's quite a few avenues that people can connect with me. And I'll be looking forward to hearing from people.
Now, your ministry is based in the UK, and most of our listening audience will be in the US, and we appreciate what you've done for the UK, but we don't want the UK to have you all to themselves. So help me with a way that perhaps American listeners can connect with you, obviously through the internet. But you're going to an event at the end of this month. Tell us a little bit about the event, because I want to make sure that and there'll be thousands of people at this event. I want to make sure that they know that you're coming, so that it might be an opportunity for them to connect with you right there at the event.
Okay. Well, at the end of the month, I'm going to be at the Joyce Meyers Conference in St. Louis, which I believe is on the 28th to the 1st, I believe, of October. So it's going to be in St. Louis. I'm not speaking there. I'm going to be a delegate, because I'm all about also receiving as well as pouring out. So I'm so looking forward to that conference. So if anybody's going to be there, just Facebook me, or you know, tweet me, or do something, and perhaps we can just meet up there during the event, and then we can just chat and hang out.
That's perfect. That's perfect. And your Twitter handle is at Gladys Famario altogether. And I've seen at these events where we active tweeters get a great opportunity to meet people live when they're in the same place. So I'd encourage anyone going to the Joyce Meyer event to just tweet or reach out to Gladys via Facebook, and it'd be a wonderful opportunity to see her face to face. Well, thank you so much for the time that you've taken on the interview. I'm really, really excited about you touching more of the American audience. And I think maybe you should take that advice and someday write a book on how this applies to men. Because, again, if we solve men's emotional baggage, more than half of women's emotional baggage goes away.
Absolutely. Better still, if y'all over there will invite me over to talk to both men and women, I will be so delighted to come along. So if anybody is maybe looking at putting together women's programs or church programs, I'd be so delighted and honored to be able to come and speak to you guys more about this. And we can really spend some time, you know, going deep into the subject, because I believe my sisters and brothers over there could also do with some of the support that we're lending over here in the UK. So just contact me and I will be there in a jiffy.
And I heard you use the word y'all, which means you already know how to speak American.
I've been there quite a few times and I did try, but my accent's not that great. But yeah, that's about as much as I know.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Gladys.
Thank you very much for having me.
You've been listening to The Christian Book Show. To learn more about the author and the book featured in this interview, visit christianbookshow.com. No spaces, no dashes. That's christianbookshow.com for show notes on this interview. And be sure to subscribe so you won't miss the next interview.